From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're happy to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues to deal with each of the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns concludes a message on the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. In expounding this commandment, Dr. Cairns has stated that stealing of every conceivable kind is strictly forbidden by God. The prohibition extends both to individual acts of theft or deceit, as well as to employers withholding just wages, or to the state unfairly taking from people or from God. In summing up this commandment, Dr. Cairns will emphasize that the biblical standard goes beyond mere honesty. It is a Christ-like generosity that God desires from His people. This is embodied in a life of giving rather than of getting. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First of all, here's a brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection entitled Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Ever Mindful. The text is found in Psalm 115 and verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. I can set my seal to that first sentence. Cannot you? Yes, Jehovah has thought of us, provided for us, comforted us, delivered us, and guided us. In all the movements of His providence, He has been mindful of us, never overlooking our mean affairs. His mind has been full of us. That is the other form of the word mindful. This has been the case all along, and without a single break. At special times, however, we have more distinctly seen this mindfulness, and we would recall them at this hour with overflowing gratitude. Yes, yes, the Lord hath been mindful of us. The next sentence is a logical inference from the former one. Since God is unchangeable, He will continue to be mindful of us in the future, as He has been in the past, and His mindfulness is tantamount to blessing us. But we have here not only the conclusion of reason, but the declaration of inspiration. We have it on the Holy Ghost's authority. He will bless us. This means great things and unsearchable. The very indistinctness of the promise indicates its infinite reach. He will bless us after His own divine manner, and that forever and ever. Therefore, let us each say, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Hear how the heavens are sounding His name. Hear how the earth reaps His glory and fame. Ocean and mountain, stream, forest, high, echo His praises, tell of His love.
Is our love.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
God is a hater of social injustice. And while, as I indicated, the Bible does not lay any basis for communistic nonsense, yet the Bible is just as adamant against the social injustice that allows one man to suck the blood of thousands, grind them to powder, to make himself rich. The day of God's reckoning on such is coming. The Bible deals with swindling, betraying public trust or private trust. This is something that churches need to be very, very particularly aware of. There have been scams and swindles that have been practiced particularly in churches where someone will come along, and this unfortunately is not a rarity nowadays, but they come along and they represent themselves as being in this not for money but as a ministry to God's people. And they're in some special kind of investment. Trust me because I'm a Christian. They'll get the money. Hundreds of thousands and millions of hard-earned dollars, especially from the old and the vulnerable, are just whisked away. Swindling is unfortunately all around us. We need to be alert for it, and we also need to make sure we have no part of it. Usury, not in the sense of just interest on money at any in any circumstance, but exorbitant interest. The Hebrew word for usury has the idea of biting. There are various scriptures which I'll not turn to for the sake of time tonight, in Deuteronomy 23:19, for example, and in Proverbs 28:8, you'll find there's a reference to usury. The idea is usually of a poor man coming, a poor brother coming. Now, I'm going to sound outlandish here, but if a poor man comes to you as a Christian, if a poor brother in Christ comes to you as a Christian, and he needs you to lend for the necessities of his life, God says it's a matter, first of all, of law. Second, it's a matter of faith that you give and you do it without interest. Now, it's a totally different thing if someone is coming to borrow to invest. It was John Calvin who first pointed out the great difference between a poor man borrowing in order to live and to give his wife and family the necessities of life, and another man borrowing in order to invest and make himself richer. There's a world of difference. The Bible does not outlaw interest except it be exorbitant interest in the latter case, but it certainly does outlaw all this practice of gouging, loan sharking, taking advantage of the sudden need, especially of the poor and the vulnerable. When you think of this, I used to see men, and of course it was their business. They would go to certain houses. These folks from Northern Ireland will remember this perhaps. And we would say, there's the Provident Check Man. There's a firm that gave money out to poorer people. And they would have an amount of money, and then they could buy the clothes, they could do this. There were certain shops that would sell, and they could buy clothes, they could do all this sort of thing, household goods. But the interest rate would have been two or three times what a person who could afford to go to a bank would have to pay. Now that is gouging. And God says that is theft. All sorts of deceptive trade practices. The Bible mentions a lot of them. Sin, stealing. Then there is one form of stealing. We read that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel, stealing hearts from submission to lawful authority is a breach of the 8th commandment. Satan stole the heart of Eve and then of Adam. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. And Satan has often stolen hearts to set a nation against itself. This is what happened in the day of Absalom's rebellion. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And soon you had the nation at war with itself. How often Satan has done that? This country has felt it. Our country has felt it. It's feeling it still. How often Satan has set stolen hearts to set a church against itself or a home against itself. Stealing the hearts of men or women or children from submission to lawful authority is a breach of the eighth commandment. Bribery. Fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery, the scripture says. Bribery breaches. And of course, stealing from God. Jesus said, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. That's the work of apostasy. They make merchandise of the gospel and they make merchandise of the people of God. That is a breach of the eighth commandment. But also, so is withholding support of the work of God. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3 asks. Will a man rob God? Will some good, decent, upright, hard-working people who would never think of going into a supermarket and stealing off the shelves, who would be honest enough that if they found that a company had undercharged them by $100 on an item, they would tell them, you've made a mistake? Will people like that rob God? Yet, he says, ye have robbed me. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In other words, there is a lawful support for the work of God and the gospel. We should give out of love. We should give cheerfully. We should give trusting in our Savior. We should give because of what He has given to us. But on top of all that, there is the weight of law. Will a man rob God? Yes, all too many, even Christians, rob God. So let me summarize. We are not to steal from the poor. And that's true not only of individuals, but of nations. This country has no right whatsoever to maintain its wealth by simply pulverizing third world nations that can't have the economic muscle to stand up for themselves. You're not allowed to steal from the poor. That's the most prevalent form of theft in the world. But neither are you allowed to steal from the rich. How many people think, and I've known people like this, when my employer doesn't pay me what he ought to pay me, so it's okay for me to siphon off a little by the way and make things a little more just and equal. You are not permitted to steal from the rich. In fact, when a case like this would come to law, Exodus 22 verse 3 says, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. You will not give favorable treatment to a poor man in the cause of justice. And if he's a thief, he's a thief, and deal with him as such. We are not to steal from the state. Render to Caesar, said Jesus, the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We are not to steal from the state. Equally, the state is not to steal from its citizens. We're not to steal from our employers. We're not to steal from our employees. We're not to steal hearts from God-ordained authority. And we are not to steal from the Lord. That is the prohibition of this text. Now, if I were to leave it there, it would be simply law. But let me finish very briefly by referring to the pattern which this eighth commandment exemplifies. It calls for hard work, it calls for honesty, it calls for true priorities. Various scriptures support that. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wing and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Set your affections on things above and not on things beneath. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. So those are plain commands. But the biblical pattern's far, far more than this. What's the opposite of stealing? We would say honesty. And that's partially right. But it's only partially right. The biblical antithesis to stealing is not mere honesty, it is Christ-like generosity. It is a life of giving rather than a fixation on getting. I can prove that very simply. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." That's the opposite to stealing. Christ-like generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." These last Sabbath mornings we have been thinking in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now when a Christian looks at that, what's his response? 1 John 3:16 tells you what the response is. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Here's the opposite of that greedy, grasping, getting spirit. It is a spirit that is moved by the love of God. It is a spirit that is reacting to the grace of God. It is a spirit of giving, even until it hurts, even unto death. But John adds in verse 17, "Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" I have known rich men see a brother and a friend in need that threatened the very existence of their lives, their home, their well-being. Who could have taken care of the whole need and never missed it for a second, and who wouldn't even help. Those people never think of themselves as breaking the eighth commandment. But according to my Bible, they're thieves. "Oh, but this is mine." Just think again. Just think again. This is God's for you to do with as he says. How can the love of God dwell in a man's heart if he can see a brother in Christ brought to want and poverty and not do that to help him when it's easily within his power to do so? That's not my question. That's the question of the Holy Ghost. And it's a question that goes to the very heart of that man's religion, and that puts the question mark of God over whether he knows Christ or not. And most of all, of course, the opposite to stealing is giving ourselves to the Lord. "Do you not know," Paul says, "that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So let's not steal from our Creator. Let's not give either ourselves or our substance grudgingly. But rather, as we look at him who gave his Son for us, as we look at that Son of God who gave his all for us, let us give ourselves and our substance cheerfully to our God and say, 'All I am and have I am and I have for the glory of God and the extension of His kingdom.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.